Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Hey, my name is AJ Claire Coper, and my wife and I, fellas, you don't need to look at this. Girls, how hot is my wife? Why don't you stand up? Why don't you stand up? Why don't you stand up? She's phenomenal, and I'll tell you, everything in my life works and makes sense because she is there making it work and make sense. I just kind of run really hard, and she makes sure all the rocks are out of my path as I'm running, and she's gifted beyond what I could even ask or imagine. And so marry the right person, and then sow into them. Love your wives, fella, because there's great stuff on the inside of her that's going to benefit you. So love them, and that's how you get it out. That's just free. That's not on that piece of paper. Man, I'm excited to be here. Pastor Bill and Pastor Sandy are out of town, but isn't it awesome that we've got people that can preach the word and be ready for that? Because right now in Sepulveda, Jaime Espelin is speaking there. And then over in Skytook, Aaron White is out of town, and so Juan Charles is speaking there. So they put the white guy here because if Pastor Chano spoke here, it would have been all Iglesias, all everywhere. But we're holding strong. We're still here. I just appreciate you guys being here, and I've got a word that is, it's kind of kept me awake for the last three nights or so. My girls helped, my little kids helped, but the word is heavy on my heart as well. And so I stopped three or four different times and said, God, are you sure? I said, yes, I'm like really sure. So we're gonna dive right in. So you guys can jump in, go to Colossians chapter 3. I'm gonna pray and we'll get going. God, we just thank you for tonight. We just thank you for your Holy Spirit and your presence, God. God, we just thank you for the work that Jesus did on our behalf that we couldn't earn if we wanted to. God, we just thank you for your will for each and every one of our lives, that it's good, it's holy, it's acceptable, it's perfect, and it's beneficial to us. God, if we're not thankful, then we're just ignorant. We just don't understand what's going on, and there's storms and there's hardships, but God, we're thankful for you and the Spirit that dwells in us that overcomes all those things. And so, God, we're just going to rest and rely on you. We're going to work hard and rest. That doesn't seem like that should fit, but by your Spirit, we're at peace as we run hard. We love you so much, God. We're going to receive your word from you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians 3, verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died. There's a pretty big three words. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, hang on to that, Christ is our life. Is there any life outside of Christ? No, because he is our life. When he appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Verse 5, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Jump down to verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds. I want to break this down a little bit for you. Verse 5 says, put to death these things. Do you see that and how severe that is, how serious that is? These are the things that deal with your flesh. And he says, you need to put the things to death that are touching the earth. Why is it your flesh? Because of the things that you do with your hand here. But these are also what's touching the earth. If it's touching the earth, it needs to be crucified. Because you're made out of dust, right? God took the dust and he formed Adam out of it. You can see it all through Ecclesiastes. From dust you've come, from dust you'll return. You're made out of dust. And so when the Bible says that you're born into sin, what it says is you're born into a sinful world, into a sinful flesh. And so you're made out of the stuff that is sinful. This thing that you're wrapped up in is just trying to get you to fall at all times. It is not who you are, but it's what you're wrapped in. And so he says, I need you to kill this. And we don't mean hurt yourself. We don't mean cut and nothing like that. He said, I need you to crucify these lustful, fleshly things. You got to get rid of it because it's contrary to Jesus Christ. Because the things that are drawing you to the earth, your flesh, are in stark contrast to the things that God made alive in you that are from heaven. And so your walk is constantly, am I going to follow my flesh in the earth, or am I going to go with the Spirit that dwells inside of me that's drawing me to the things of heaven? You get to choose. Well, what's sat in between? Your soul. This is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And that's when he gets into verse 8, and he says, now these things you put off. There's those things that you kill and you put to death. These things you put off. And these are the things that have to do with your soul. These are your emotions and these are your mindsets. These are the strongholds that you're trying to get through. And he says you need to put these things off because as it works, you're to be spirit-led, right? You got saved and now you're walking on the highway of holiness. And now you've got this path of righteousness. And behind you is goodness and mercy. We were singing it in one of those songs. Goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. This is what you're on. So what do you have to do in order to act in these things that he's saying in verse 9, in verse 8? Anger and wrath and malice. What do you have to do? You got to get deceived. You got to step off your path that God has you on, and you got to go get into another path and get into anger. This is why he says you don't kill these things, because these are spiritual deceptions. And so if you're acting out of anger, it's because your emotions are leading you. Where do your emotions come from? Your soul. And so when Jesus is in the garden going, not my will, but your will be done, you have to do the same thing in your life. You've got to take every thought into the captivity of Christ because these are the things leading you into your soul. I heard somebody say, and I think it's phenomenal, said your emotions can be good. Your emotions can be indicators of your life, but never as a man of God or a woman of God allow them to be fabricators of your life. Might want to write that one down, right? Your emotions can be indicators of your life, but never fabricators of your life. That means you're being soul-led. Soul-led is not good enough. Soul-led is your experiences and your know-how and what you bring to the table. That's soul-led. That's not what we want. And he says, you've got to cast these things off. How do you do that? We take every thought into the captivity of Jesus Christ. Every thought, every thought, every thought, every thought. Nonstop, all day. This is why Paul gets to say things like, I pray without ceasing. Why? Because he's taking every thought captive all day long. It doesn't mean he's talking all the time. He's just in that place of being spirit-led. Right? And so we live this life of being spirit-led. And so if you look at Hebrews 4:12, it says that the word of God is active and alive, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, separating what? Soul and spirit. Well, I don't know if this is me and my emotions or the spirit of God. The word of God will separate it for you. How am I supposed to vote yesterday? Well, I hope you went and prayed. I hope you asked God who you should vote for. I hope you just didn't pick a party line. Because what happens is we get these options set in front of us from the earth, right? Do I do this or do I do that? Am I liberal or am I conservative? And it's absurd. Dustin, who spoke Sunday, how amazing was Dustin on Sunday, by the way? Wow. Wow. Yeah, give it up. Seriously, he'll watch the podcast. Dustin, that was phenomenal. Okay. He brought up the story in Joshua where he sees the commander of the heavenly armies, right? And he walks, he goes, are you for us or against us? How about immigration laws? For it or against it, right? We could throw this in anything. What does the commander of the Lord's host say? No. But I said, that doesn't make sense. I said, are you this or are you that? No. I do as the Lord says. There's your response. No, you are not pigeonholed into this or that. You have what the word of God says. This is spirit-led, not soul-led. This is your life. It's amazing because in that Colossians 3, it tells you to put things to death and put things off. It also tells you to put things on and put things in. And I'm going to let you go study that so you can get some of that. But what I want to tell you is that Jesus on the cross is a fascinating study. Because the things that he put off are the things that we're supposed to put on. The things that he took on the cross are the things that we're supposed to put off. It's amazing. I'm going to give you some of his names here. You guys could put the whole list up for them, and they'll maybe listen to me or maybe read. I don't know. But Jesus, remember in that verse 4 there, I said that Jesus is our life. And so we can say our life, Jesus, had to die. He had to give his life. You're going to see all the opposites that are going on here. The breath of life, which is really more the Holy Spirit, but Jesus abided as the breath of life. He died of asphyxiation. He had no breath, but he's the breath of life. Because on the cross, you're hanging, and you have to pull yourself up for breath, and eventually you just get so tired, you die of asphyxiation. The breath of life didn't have breath for himself. You guys got him in front of me. I've got him in front of me. I don't need to keep walking back there. He's the light of the world, and he died in darkness. It said whenever Jesus gave up his spirit from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, it went dark on the earth. And that, well, was that the Roman calendar, or was that the Jewish clock, or what? You guys aren't even wondering that. I don't know why I'm bringing that up. Scholars argue about what time it was, but both of them say it was daylight. So it doesn't really matter which time it was. It was supposed to be daylight, but it went dark. Why? Because the light of the world went out. So should you be dwelling in light or darkness? Well, he cast it off for you to put it on. He took on the darkness for you to get rid of it. Do you have the best Savior ever? Can anybody come near this? Can anything find anything outside of this? No, he is our life. This is it. Let's keep going on with the list. Son of Man. I skipped one. Living water. He was thirsty. I thirst. They put a sponge in vinegar mixed with gall, and they tried to give it to him. I don't want vinegar in my mouth when I'm asking for a drink. It was a pain sedative, and he spit it out. But the living water died thirsty. This is crazy stuff. Right? This was just the top of my head. We could do this all night, but I don't want to. It's up there. There are just screens everywhere. You can tell I'm in Sepulpa, okay? Son of Man. You ever think about where Joseph was on the day of his crucifixion? The Son of Man's earthly father wasn't there. Why? So you have a father. Golly. Lion of Judah died as a sacrificial lamb. He's the blood of the covenant, the blood of redemption. They stabbed him in the side. He completely was drained out. There was not enough blood in his own body for himself. He poured it out for you. And then finally, he's the Savior of the world, and he didn't save himself so that we get these things. He left them here for us. And I hope you got a picture. You wrote all that down. But to be honest with you, I don't really care about that. That may be, you know, ringing in your ears and really cool information, but I'll tell you what, as far as that's going to reach, I guarantee it tonight, as far as that's going to reach, it's probably you driving home in your car and talking to your spouse and going, man, wasn't that neat when they said, that's probably as far as this is going to go. Because when a storm hits your life, this isn't it. When you're making a decision for your future, this isn't it. This is just really good information to believe on Christ and believe in the Bible. But I want you to, just for a second, just stop taking notes, stop messing with whatever it is and look at me for a second, because I'm saying all that to lead up to this, and this is the tone of tonight. What are you building? Because if he's willing to cast all those things off for us to put on and to put in and to live and abide by, what are you doing with it? You can see why I was saying, God, are you sure I should be the one saying this? What are you building? Because I know what Jesus is building on the earth. He told us, Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. That's the only thing that he cares about. He's not building your stock portfolio. He's not building your business. Listen to me. He's not building your family. And that may hit some of you kind of weird. He's not building your family. He's building his church. And as you align with his church, goodness outflows out of all those things. Is your business going to be blessed if you're planted in the church? Yes, because you flourish. Because as you're generous here, he's generous unto you. He opens windows over your life. He opens doors that no man can close. He takes care of your situation. Will your family be in line? Yes, because we have unity. We're on the same page, going the same direction, under the same teaching, and so my family's blessed. He's building his church. What are you building? What are you building? What is your schedule dictating, and what is your money dictating? If you were to put it down on paper, what would it look like you were building? Would it look like you're building the kingdom of God, or would it look like you're building your own kingdom? I'm not trying to be mean to you. I just think we need to be very sober, because the times are so distracting. Most of the people in this room will not be able to get through this service without pulling their phone out at some point. Why? Because we are just always distracted at all times. And the enemy loves it because he doesn't have to appear to you and go, hey, smoke crack. Like, that's not what his plan is, right? His plan is to get you that far off to compromise the call of God on your life. And at the end of the day, if you don't accomplish it, he did his job. He couldn't get you to hell, but he could stop you from reaching all the people you were supposed to. You got to be spirit-led, not soul-led. You don't have to take what you've been given. You take what you were given. And if you're listening to that, I did hand motions. Don't take what you were given from the earth. Take what you were given from heaven. Okay? Because I'm probably not going to go back to those tonight. Because the thought that keeps me awake a lot, and I'm not trying to say this in false humility and paint this picture I'm more holy than I am, but I'm dead serious about this, that I think about this moment a lot. And it's the moment when we leave this earth and we go stand before Jesus. I think about that moment a lot. And I don't just think about it on my behalf. I think about it on the people that I'm in contact with and in touch with, because that's a very serious moment that God takes very seriously. And I'm not saying people in here are going to hell. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is he told us what to prepare for that interview process. And he said, on that day, you're going to answer for every idle word. And Christians get so sin conscious and so wrapped up in sin. You're not going to talk to Jesus about sin. It's not going to happen. There's still holes in his hands and his feet and his side for sin. Once you make it to the throne of Christ, you're not talking about it. You shouldn't be talking about it right now. Sin is a dead issue. And I have a hard time because I'll hear these, you know, really awesome Christians and stuff, but they'll say things like, well, we got a sin problem in the world. Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. But what we actually have at the root of it is an intimacy with God problem. If you're spending time with God, you're not going to fall into the temptation. If you're praying, you're not going to blaspheme. If you're fasting, you're not going to fall into silliness. If you're in church, you're not going to be where you're not supposed to be. We have an intimacy with God problem, and we want to paint it as a sin picture because then it gives us an enemy on the earth instead of in the heavenly realms. Your enemy is not your brother. There's your deception. He's different than me. No, he's not. No, he's not. He fell victim to a deception that you didn't fall for. That's the only separation. God loves us so much, and he wants to give us all these things, but he's saying, what are you doing with what I gave you? That's what you're going to talk to Jesus about. And you're going to look at him, and it's hard because, Mariah can't run up in front of me and go, but Jesus, the girls didn't sleep that night, you know? And so he was getting pulled in all these different directions, and man, he helped that guy up 6 times. How many times should he really help him up? You don't get to have somebody vouch for you. In fact, you leave your flesh on the earth, and you go stand in front of God completely exposed, like Jesus was on the cross. And he's going to tell you about yourself. Whereas David says in Psalms, he says, Lord, expose me. God, show me my heart. Let me know what's in me. He's asking for it here so he can correct it. So at his time with Jesus, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. And so I'm just painting this picture for you of the reality of, yes, you got saved. You're going to heaven. But you're going to have a stop at Jesus' throne first. And he's going to say, man, I told you whatever you set your hand to will prosper. Would you prosper? I told you no weapon formed against you ever will. Did you run without fear? I said there's salvation on your lips and healing in your hands. How many people did you go touch and speak to? What did you do with what I gave you? I gave you 90 years on the earth. What did you give back to me? And you can see it in the parable of the talents. The master had 3 servants, right? He gave all 3 of them money. And he said, I'm coming back. I'm not going to tell you when, but I'm coming back. Does this sound familiar? 2 of them took off, set their hand to something, and it prospered. The 3rd one buried it, didn't use it. And when the master comes, he goes, well done, 3rd man, you wicked and lazy servant. Lazy, isn't that interesting? He uses lazy. Out of all the things he could have called that guy, you were lazy with what I gave you. You didn't implement it to the things that I told you to implement it to. You built your own kingdom. Because the earth is going to get 2 baptisms. I know I say some heavy things really fast, and you're probably like, wait a second. The earth is getting 2 baptisms. It got water baptisms with Noah, but what's coming at the end of the age? It's going to burn up. It's going to get a baptism of fire. You and I are supposed to have both those as well. Everything in creation is going to go through these baptisms. We get to choose. And so people are like, well, I think I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but I don't really pray in You don't pray in tongues? Let's sort that out. Let's go. Let's get past the awkward into the presence. Let's push past the things that the world thinks is weird and go get with God. How about that? How we stop making excuses for the things that there's no excuse for. And again, I'm not trying to be the heavy. I'm working these things out in my own life. And so I'm only saying this as like a scarred person in front of you going, don't go in there, it hurts, you know. I'm telling you to walk out the call of God on your life with intimacy with him. And so he's going to say, what'd you do with my stuff? What did you build for the kingdom? And so Jesus is building his church, and I'm just asking you, what are you doing? Are you involved? I get to say this because I don't come to this campus, and I have literally no idea who does what, who's where, I have no idea. So when Paul says don't preach to their faces, I'm totally blameless because I don't know. I can't say this in Sepulpa because I know exactly who's doing what. And so I would have an agenda, right? I don't have one here. I don't know. I'm just saying what I was told to say by the Holy Spirit. He downloaded this whole message to me in 10 minutes when me and Mariah were driving back from Wichita. And I was driving, I said, will you just take these bullet point notes? And she's like, I don't know what any of this means. Like, it'll make sense to me. And so what God says is that Paul tells us that you're not limited by us. You're not limited by me. You're limited by your own affections. And I want to switch how you maybe have read that before, because what he's actually saying is you're not limited by God and desiring his things. You're limited by what you're desiring. You're limited by desiring the wrong things. It tells us in Philippians 3, for those that are not following God, it says they have a God. Their God is their belly. Their God is their stomach. Both those words have to do with your bowels and the inside. Your affections, the Greek word, has to do with the hollow place inside of you. And he says, you're limited because you're seeking out the hollow place inside of you and not me. You're desiring the things of your belly, your flesh, instead of the desires of your heart that I gave you. God wants to give you the desires of your heart. He does not give a rip about the desires of your flesh. Will he give them unto you? Sure. Seek first me and my righteousness, and I'll give all things unto you, right? My kingdom and my righteousness. I'll give you the stuff that your flesh wants once I know that your spirit is leading. I'm not going to give you the things of your flesh because those are going to start to run you. I'm going to give you the things of your spirit, and then you run those things. This is how influence and promotion works in the kingdom. I was reading Jaime's notes in Sepulpa, and his number one point is never be too good to clean toilets. I'm like, God, yes. I'm going to go listen to his sermon. Never be too good to clean the toilets. Never hurdle over something that you're supposed to take care of because you may just jump over it and leave it as a trap for somebody else. Take care of the things you're supposed to take care of. Don't leave a mess for your kids. And I'm not talking about in the house. I'm talking about as a legacy. Don't make them clear up your last name. Go live the life of God that you're called to lead. Because how this works, and I'll get a little bit deeper here, because that's what you're asking for. Going back to the dust thought, and in Ecclesiastes 3, and I think it's Ecclesiastes 12, he talks about, and this is King Solomon. If you want to see somebody who started with God and then followed their soul, look at King Solomon. He started with everything and then turned it into his own empire. And so he's writing this book of Ecclesiastes when he's just kind of a wreck. And he says, man, from dust we come, from dust we return, right? You know, Kansas really helped us out with the dust and the wind. Thank you, Kansas, for that. But that's a whole thought from Ecclesiastes. Some of you guys are old enough for me. I shouldn't know that, but you guys should. And so he says, from dust you come and dust you return. But he's mistaken there. Because how God does this is he formed Adam from the dust, right? And so you're not supposed to be dust that's blowing around in the wind. You're not supposed to be dust that's just getting beat by the waves and pushed around wherever. You're supposed to be in the hands of your Creator. And as he adds water, the Holy Spirit, he begins to shape you and mold you. This is not an easy, simple, comfortable practice because he starts taking stuff off. He starts squeezing. He starts putting you into things that you're going, that's not my personality. I don't care. I'm not really a morning person. Yeah, David said he makes sacrifices in the morning and the evening. Your personality does not factor into this. My will does. And he starts shaping you, and it's not comfortable. And too many people stop and go, no. That's just, I'm kind of a quirky person. That's who I am. No. If I don't have that, I can't pay my bills. And we start blocking the hand of our Creator, and we start being a pot that tries to tell the molder what we should be. But he's not done. Once he gets you into a shape that he wants you in, what does he do? How do you make a brick? You got to fire it, right? You got to put it into a fire to heat it up and harden it. And so now you've been pressed and you've been pushed. Am I selling anybody on the internship right now? And so you're getting all these things, and then you get thrown into the fire. And too many of us are going, God, save me from the fire. He goes, no, I need you to stay in there a little longer. I need you to cook. I need you to harden to adversity. We know these verses, right? I need you to become what I need you to become because I have a place for you. And I'm going to build you. Let me read you a verse, and it'll tie this whole thing together. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, you yourselves, like living stones, what's he molding? He's molding you into a living stone. You are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. So what are we doing at the church? We're building these spiritual houses. And so he's going to take you guys, and he's going to form you, he's going to mold you, he's going to fire you, he's going to harden you, and he's going to put you in place with mortar. And that's where you are. And here's where people start to miss it, because they'll go through some of that training and some of that hardship and some of that refining, but then what they don't realize is that you keep building up, right? And now my focus is here. And sometimes the bricks at the bottom start complaining, going, why are you not paying attention to me? I don't like the music's that loud. I don't like how we're presenting this. I don't like the look and the feel. He's going, it's not about you right now. I need you down there holding up the structure as a pillar. I need you holding together the things that are around you. I don't need you to be an ornate piece. I need you to be a foundation piece. And there's too many people in this room that have been trained up by this house, too many people in this room that have taken from Pastor Bill and Pastor Sandy, put their soul into that fire and came out refined. that aren't carrying the load they're supposed to be carrying. I'm not either. I'm supposed to be doing more. And I'm not saying this to condemn you. I'm saying this to let the Holy Spirit do a work on the inside of you. Because what we have at church is we've got visitors, which is awesome. If you're a visitor, welcome. Don't let me offend you. Let Pastor Bill offend you next week. We've got visitors, and then they'll turn into members, and then they'll turn into, you know, servants of the house, and then we're supposed to get to leaders. But somewhere in there, we get comfortable, and we don't press to the next phase. Or we start feeling like, well, I've made it. When you're supposed to be leading a team of people because there's an anointing on your life that you've worked too hard for. And this is where Jesus is going to go, I put all that stuff in you. I've been through second mile 7 times. What are you doing with it? Nobody knows anything about grace, submission to authority, forgiveness. They don't know that stuff. You do. Who are you bringing with you? This is what Jesus is going to account for, because that fire that's coming burns up what? Wood, hay, and stubble. It burns up the things that you're building from the earth, right? And you're going to go, Jesus, I had this great sandcastle. He's going to go, yeah, I burned it up. It's either wood, hay, and stubble, or it's gold, silver, and precious stones. What happened when fire hits gold, silver, and precious stones? It refines and it gets better. And what's going to come out of that is that's what you're going to get to go stand in front of Jesus and go, here you go. This is all for you. It's for your glory. Yours is the kingdom, the glory, and the power forever. None of this is for me. It's all for you because you're worth it. Are you building his kingdom? Or are you building your next business? And I'm not saying don't be ambitious. I'm not saying don't go kill it in the business world. I'm not saying those things. I'm saying, where is your heart? Because we'll come in here, and here's a tough verse, and you hear it every single time you come to Guts. Deuteronomy 28:8. Whatever you set your hand to will prosper. Remember, Hebrews 4:12 said that the word of God is a double-edged sword. What's the backside of that everything you set your hand to will prosper? Well, maybe I go build something that now becomes a monument to me because it prospered. Now I start building something that becomes a distraction to me. Now maybe I don't have the time to serve at the church or disciple the people because now I've prospered this thing. You've got to be careful. And this is where Solomon went wrong, because he stopped having the fear of the Lord and he started having the glorification of his kingdom on earth. And I'm just asking you, what are you building? We're going to account for this stuff. And I'm not trying to scare you, because Jesus is going to say, well done, come on in. I'm telling you, he will. But what I'm saying is, there's rewards in heaven. There's a life on the new earth. And it's all dictated by what we're doing right now. And beside all that, Jesus is worth me bleeding out for. He's worth every ounce of my life and everything. And I know you guys feel that too. But there's so much going on that sometimes we miss piercing the darkness with the light. And we start looking around going, how dark is this? Well, the word is a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet. He's going to let you see the small stuff so you don't trip, and he's going to let you see out in front of you. Are you in the word? Are you praying? Are you fasting? What do you want? The word says, I wanted your word more than necessary food. And I got some things that are kind of chips on my shoulder, and I'm going to give you a couple of them here. I hear things about the church. It's really easy to throw rocks at the church. It's really easy to come against the church. Why? Well, it's run by man. It's not perfect. It's not perfect. So it's really easy to sit up on our high horse and say, here's how you should, you know, and now I'm in a leadership role, so everybody comes to me at the pulpit like, man, we should sing this song. We're not going to sing that song. I used to be nice and be like, well, we'll see. Well, I don't have time for it anymore. No, we're not going to sing that song. Well, it's scriptural. No, I get it. It's scriptural. But you don't understand the mantle that you're under at this church. Because Guts Church is revealing a piece of the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're a portion of the body. And that song is not revealing the portion that we are. Because if we're a body, Guts Church is, we're the adrenal gland. We're the quick twitch muscle. We're the fist, you know, like we are those things. And that's fun to say, and that's sexy, and it can get, you know. But you know what that means? That means you're always fighting. Guts Church is always fighting. And so we're not going to sing a song about curling up in your father's arms and this stuff, which is great. you need to go to your quiet time and find that place where my God sings over me as I sleep, and he's the lover of my soul. And you need to get those things from your personal time, but you need to understand the mantle you're under at this church. And I'm going to say this, and I don't know if I should. I do know I should, so I'm going to. Is that there's a father of this house. It's Pastor Bill. Okay? Jesus is the head of the church. He's the good shepherd. I know, but he planted man in a place. Pastor Bill's the head of this church, and he's your father. And I have a hard time because I get people all the time from our church saying, hey, you got to listen to this sermon from this pastor. We're posting things online about these other guys. Are they fantastic? Yes. Are they in your vision? No. I grew up with a great dad. When I needed 10 bucks, I was not going to my friend's dad. When I was having a hard time with sports and the coach wasn't taking care of me, I didn't go to my friend's dad. I went to my dad. Why? Because I'm a Claire Coper, and he's going to raise me to be a Claire Coper. Your dad is here, and he's raising you in that sense. You maybe have been saved longer than Pastor Bill. It does not matter. He's anointed to do it. I've just got a personal, I listen to some other preaching, but I will never listen to a pastor address his flock. It's not safe to me. Is he saying great things? Yes, because it's in line with his vision and his church. If you take on two visions, what are you? Divided. Division. I may listen to a conference speaker. I may listen to an itinerant speaker. I'm not going to listen to a father address his family. I'm going to listen to my pastor. I want you guys to know how this works, because I forgive the word. It's a curse word, but it's not. There's too many bastard children in the body of Christ, bouncing from house to house to house to house, and they're living this Instagram preaching life, but they have no substance because they haven't been formed by the maker that happens at church. If you're sitting in the chairs doing nothing, you're missing the whole point of church. You can YouTube way better sermons than what I'm giving you right now. There are expert professional speakers that you can go find. But you know what you're going to get in these seats? You're going to get community. You're going to get refining. You're going to get opportunity. You're going to have somebody walk up to you and go, man, I'm so glad that you're here. Or you may have somebody coming up to you going, man, you need to be on this team. You got to get moving here. So I'm asking you, what are you building? You're in the place with everything that you could possibly ask or imagine for the growth of your spirit. Are you tapping into it? I know this is kind of heavy, but this is it. This is it, because it's time for Guts Church to turn the corner. There's this passage in Scripture, and I'm sorry I can't quote it for you, but they had been out of Israel for a while, and they came back to the temple, and they opened the doors, and everything was just rotted out and broken down, and it's cracked, and it was messed up. And you know what the priests did? They couldn't fix it. So they had to go to the I almost said electricians. I don't know what year that was. They had to go to the guys that could fix it, and they were not the priests. The church staff is not going to take the church to the next level. You guys are. The church staff is going to make sure you are resourced with everything you need. They're going to make sure that it's in our culture. They're going to make sure it has everything that it needs to be safe. But you guys are the ones that got to come fix the temple. Web designers need to take over. Stage builders need to take over. And we're doing really well, don't get me wrong. But I'm just telling you that the things that you guys are carrying in these seats out there have to begin to affect the church at a greater level. And you don't need this. You see the things that you would rather have. You see the things that you could operate in. You see these things. Let's just go do it. I'm begging you. I'm begging you. Because what you're going to find is your life is on the other side of that service. Because your gift makes a place for you. Well, I just can't connect at that church. Have you been in the parking lot with a vest on yet? You'll connect really fast. Oh, it's so hot outside. I know there's a refining fire, and it's in Oklahoma. God cares about you so much that he chastises you. Did you know that? He chastises and corrects those he loves. And if you're getting a little bit of correction right now, it's because the Holy Spirit is going, man, I got more for you. It's better. Because what you'll find is as you just start casting off the things of the earth that seem so shiny, you start getting rid of those things, man, your life is so much more peaceful. We're trying not to watch very much TV in our house because it's a thief. It's stealing my time. We're having to correct things to our daughters like, hey, we're not afraid. I know that Peppa Pig said that, but we are not afraid. Like, it's so much easier to bring them to church and let those wonderful people over there raise them in the admonition of the Lord. This makes sense, right? This is who we are. We are the church. You are the temple. You are the living stones that he's building. It's not these walls. The roof doesn't leak anymore, thank goodness. But you're the church. You got to get out there and you got to do it. Just make a personal thing. This is an easy step. I'm never coming to church without bringing a guest again. We can all do that. These are the things that are going to elevate your life to new places. And I'm just telling you, the Holy Spirit's going to help you. He's your helper. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's going to equip you and empower you. And you can do it through Christ, who is your life. I'll do this. This is just kind of impromptu, and I'll start closing here. But if you're going, man, I need to step to the next level. I was an attender, and now I need to be a member. I was a member, now I need to be a servant. I was a servant for a long time, now I need to be a leader. Grab the Connect card in the seat, but how about that? We got that. The Connect card. Those are for the guests. Guests, take those to the guest center. But if this is just ringing on the inside of you right now, and you're going, I got to step up. I got to carry my share. I got to do what I'm called to do. Just write your name, your phone number, and I don't care what else. I'm making a mess for Katie right now. I'll help you phone and call people tomorrow. Maybe you'll get a call from me. We'll see. Just leave it in your chair. Write your name, your number. You can even write one of those categories. I need to be a servant. And just leave it in your chair. You'll get a phone call tomorrow. Okay? Does anybody in here just want to get started? You're saying, I've been building my kingdom. I need to build God's kingdom. You just wave at me. I need to get my life right with God in terms of working for him. Yep. Anybody else? It's a submission thing. It's not my will, it's yours. Does anybody else want to join those guys? Just wave at me. I'm not going to make you do anything crazy. Yeah. Yeah, I got you. Some of you guys are giving me little ones like this. No. You're a child of the king. Put your hand up. Thank you. Man of God back there. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to give you something to repeat, and everybody in the room is going to repeat it. And here's why we do that. It's because the Bible says you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. And we use that for salvation, but sometimes we lose that as everything, and it is. Because you're people who speak to those things that be not as though they were. And the Bible says if you speak it and you believe it, it's coming to pass for you. Because you're a creative. And I don't mean clever. I mean you're a creative, creator person. You're in the image of God. And so this is why we speak and believe these things. It started at your salvation, and it goes every single day till you go stand in front of Jesus. And so everybody in the room, just repeat after me. If you raise your hand, you better believe this in your heart, because then it's done. You say, God, my life is not my own. My life is hidden in Christ as an offering to God. Take my life, use it. I turn from my ways, I pick up your ways. My flesh is in the dirt. My spirit is with you. And I only align with the Spirit of God. I hear your voice. I hear your voice. Now I'm not going to follow another one. I'm a Christian. I'm an adopted child. And I'm an heir to every good thing that you have for me. And so I'm taking it now. In Jesus' name, amen. I appreciate you guys.